This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And what a weekend it was for football followers in the state. LSU won, of course, blowing out Texas A&M 50-7 to close the home season. And now Joe Burrow has all but won the Heisman Trophy, and LSU goes to Atlanta as almost a touchdown favorite over Georgia in the SEC Championship game. And Southern defeated Grambling in the Bayou Classic 30-28. And that series is now tied at 23 games apiece after 46 matchups between the Jaguars and the G-Men. And your number is 877-217-5757. We're going to talk about good things and not so good things. Tourism, of course, is an issue, and football helps that when things are going well, but crime doesn't. Paul Arrigo from Visit Baton Rouge is here. And we have Rudy Macklin, the leading rebounder and second leading scorer in LSU basketball history, who's also the president of the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness. You've held that position for
27 years
under the first five governors?
Yes, five governors.
Five governors, starting with Edwin Washington Edwards.
Exactly.
And Rudy continues, and at 61, he is in magnificent physical condition. He practices what he preaches, and I know that you are an advocate of people getting in shape, and unfortunately, we live in a state that has numbers that are not so good on that front as well, but what do you do to coax people to do better when it comes to their own personal physical condition?
It is very difficult. We live in a culture where we have so many festivals around Louisiana, probably over 100 of them, and a lot of them are centered around food and adult beverages. And we have the highest obesity rate in the country. And that doesn't bode well for the state as a whole in terms of economically, health care status is poor. And we really have to do something about it. We've gone to a prevention-oriented society to a treatment-oriented society. We have to start talking about prevention once again. And also, when you talk about violence, back in the day when I was working for Governor Edwin Edwards, we listed violence as a public health problem. And so we probably have to get back to that. But we have to probably focus on prevention more than anything. Mm-hmm. We have improved access to care. We have Medicaid expansion. We have Obamacare, true enough. All the things are great, but that's when you get sick, you can go get treated. But what about before you get, what about those causes that got you there in the first place? You're going to keep going for treatment and not dealing with the problem that caused you to get sick in the first place. And so that's something we're going to have to go back to.
I remember your coach, Dale Brown, saying that he didn't respect coaches who were overweight and out of shape like Bobby Knight. He thought that team discipline started with self-discipline. Here we have a president who is grotesquely obese, mm-hmm. and he tweets this vision of himself with his face on Sylvester Stallone's body. I mean, that tells me that he realizes he's in terrible physical condition, but what was he trying to prove with that, Rudy Macklin?
You're going to ask me to comment on another president after being in trouble the last time I did that with Ronald Reagan?
That's but, right. That was
yeah,
a few years
yeah,
ago.
But anyway, this president, he didn't reappoint an executive director for the President's Council on Fitness.
He did not.
And
you would be a good person for that job.
I was one of the ones that was
under consideration.
Yes, I was with the Clinton administration, Hillary Clinton, and I was told that my name had
the administration that did not happen.
Exactly, yeah. I would have been the director of the
president. You
president's
would have,
guy. Yes, and so that didn't happen. So he did not appoint a director this time. And the director before him on the Obama administration, Dr. Shelley Foe, I knew her real well. She helped me get started when I first took the job in 92. And she was giving me tips on what to expect. And so, but not having an executive director for the President's Council is really kind of a shame because under the President's Council, all the governor's councils on fitness worked with them closely. There was an association of governor's councils on fitness that was started by the President's Council, and we all supported one another, and it really worked well. And not having it this time around, we were pretty disappointed.
Well, at 61, Rudy is in fabulous physical condition, but I know him well enough. I don't think he would mind me saying he's a cancer survivor.
Yes.
Also had your gallbladder removed.
That too.
And yet you just keep on trucking. How do you do it?
Back surgery too.
Back surgery
too. Yeah, shoulder surgery as well. And you just, I've always wanted to look the part when I took the job in 92. To be the director of Governor's Council on Fitness, you have to look the part, I believe, and practice what you preach. And coming into a state where the obesity rate is very high, to encourage others to do what you do is pretty difficult. And but it really saddens me that a state that has so much pride and so much so many natural resources to have a high obesity rate, which leads to other illnesses and sicknesses, such as some cancers, heart disease, hypertension, stroke, diabetes, those things crosswalks with obesity. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult, and I think we have to get back to that when it comes to prevention. Healthcare costs are going to go up, shoot up the roof. And when you have a state that is sick, you really can't improve and across the board, education, attainment, economically, all of that, all is intertwined when you have a sick state. How can your state improve? Mm-hmm. And that's something we have to really look at.
Well, coming off the Thanksgiving weekend, did you feast over the holidays?
No, I have some good control because I still like to work out. And I've also noticed that when you overeat, you know, working out becomes even more difficult. And so I've learned to eat in moderation, you know, just to small portions and drink plenty of water. And I stick to that even over the holidays. So overeating is just something I just don't do.
And in your capacity, you're trying to get young people to start this early because good habits are sometimes like bad habits. Good habits are hard to break sometimes.
Well, it's difficult in this state to get young people to be physically active and to eat properly because their parents don't do it. Convincing the parents to, like we say, own your own health is the key to kids doing the same. We rely so heavily on pushing schools to have nutritious lunches and more choices and vending machines and things like that. But when they go home, what are they exposed to? A lot of fast foods, processed foods, sugar, high intake in sugar. And that's something that really we have to convince parents to teach their kids at an early age about the importance of being physically active and eating properly. And we just don't do that enough.
What will change it?
I've asked the other states that are doing very well, state of Washington, Vermont, Maine, Iowa, those states, and they have the buy-in from the very top. The buy-in from the governor's office on down to school superintendents, on down to mayors, mm-hmm. City council people, chambers of commerce, all of them seem to be on one accord when it comes to talking prevention, healthy eating, eating right and moving more. And they all invest in it. They set aside dollars for it through the state legislature, and they invest in healthy living. And they also put money into the environment of physical activity on nutritious environment, from billboards to safe sidewalks, bike lanes, making sure the parks are easily accessible and things like that. They invest in prevention and good health. And so, and everybody, and they demand it. And so that's something that we're going to have to do what those states are doing. And it shows they have the lowest obesity rates, and the life expectancy is higher in those states. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that they do.
And in some of these states, Rudy, the weather is terrible in the winter.
Yes.
And they don't have things like the LSU lakes.
true.
And yet we have all these great advantages, and we don't utilize them in many cases.
We don't. We really don't. And it's just that it's a mindset and the culture. Our foods are the best, and no doubt about it. But we have a tendency to overeat. And Workplace wellness is big in those states as well. Employee wellness is huge.
Ray in Prairieville. Ray, you're on with Rudy. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the call, Jim. Have a good Monday morning. Mr. Backlund, your comment I really enjoyed about getting the information out. I keep thinking that billboards, now it's going to cost the state a few bucks, but billboards that would encourage people to lose weight, eat healthier, exercise, would be a good first step. I'd like to hear more comments on what else you think would be important.
Well, we used to invest a lot in billboards back in the day when I first started. But now with social media out there, we can reach a lot more people with fewer dollars. And that's something that we're really concentrating on right now.
Well, we'll talk more about that with Rudy Macklin. Also hear from Paul Arrigo after this timeout. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Everybody in Baton Rouge, it seems, has a spring in his or her step. LSU is 12-0, only the second time in school history. And the Tigers are off to Atlanta to face Georgia in the SEC championship game. We'll talk about that with Rudy Macklin, and soon we'll hear from Paul Arrigo, head of Visit Baton Rouge. But right now we're talking about Rudy's day job as head of the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness, president for the last 27 years. Chuck in Lafayette, calling 877-217-5757. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning. I know Rudy's been a big supporter and advocate for quality physical education in the state. I just wonder if he could talk about some of the important benefits of that content area in our schools.
Sure. My partners with the Governor's Council on Fitness is the LAFRED, Louisiana Association of Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance, which is an association of PE teachers. We've been having a good partnership since I started this program back in 1992. And what we've done is we've tried to encourage other parishes, especially rural parishes, that do not have PE teachers, certified PE teachers, or they only have PE maybe once or twice a week. And we have a program called Tour de Fitness, where we have three wonderful ladies. One of them's a member of the Governor's Council on Fitness and other, you know, standout PE experts that have won numerous awards across the country. And we call it Tour de Fitness, where we go in underserved areas and we train PE teachers and even parishes don't have PE teachers, the best practices and innovative practices when it comes to health and physical education. And we found that a number of them that really they welcomed our help and advice, they were glad to see this program come about, because when you have kids in a normal school setting, they're in school all day long, and they really don't get a chance to go outside to participate in any type of physical education, it really stunts their academic progress. And studies have shown that communities and states that have a good, vibrant physical education program, that students have a tendency to do better academically. And so that's what we try to push with our Tour de Fitness program. And we also have, with the schools, the elementary fitness testing program called the Elementary Fitness Meet, where we test the fitness levels of elementary school children, but we also run it as the Olympics for elementary school kids as well. And we test the kids, and we have them to challenge and compete against one another throughout the year. We have the state championship fitness meet in Alexandria, where we have 39 parishes that's going to compete this year. And our best parish, believe it or not, is Rappeach Parish. They won the championship 4 years in a row. And so physical education, starting with the kids in elementary school and pushing it throughout high school, is really tough. The elementary kids, they're going to really love to do it and have fun. But when they get to middle school and high school, convincing them to stick with physical education is really tough. And so, but getting in on the ground floor with kids in elementary school and convincing them that this is the way to go, and convincing schools and parishes to invest in physical education mm-hmm. is one thing. That's really tough, because when it comes to budget cuts across the state, it seems like physical education is the first to be eliminated. So that's what we try to help to make sure that we keep maintain good physical education throughout the state of Louisiana.
All right. Tracy at the Capitol says he recalls you sparring with then Treasurer John Kennedy, now U.S. Senator John Kennedy, on this show about funding for boxing programs in the state. The senator thought that was a waste of time and money. You have a different opinion, don't you?
Well, the thing is about it, what I tried to, you and me back there, tried to express to Senator Kennedy when he was the treasurer here, is that this is the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. That's what we promote. And we have what we call the Governor's Games, which are the state games for the state of Louisiana. Every state has state games. Ours is called the Governor's Games. And the Governor's Council on Fitness, by legislation, has my office in the Louisiana Department of Health. But my board, the governor's board that the governor appoints, oversees me. Okay, and so I tried to explain that to now Senator Kennedy, but I don't know why he didn't get it. So we have in the governor's games, our state games, boxing tournaments where we put on boxing tournaments. We have sponsors that contribute to paying for the tournaments, okay? We have registration to where the boxers register. That goes toward paying for the tournament. So it was not using state dollars at all. We hustle our own dollars to put on the governor's games. I tried to explain that to now Senator Kennedy, but for some reason he just didn't get it, or he didn't want to get it. He still went around the state saying that we were wasting money on boxing tournaments, but that is our job to promote physical fitness and sports.
Well, I think he had an issue that went beyond this, and you're right, I disagree with him. But he believes that we shouldn't teach young kids how to fight.
Boxing, we have a boxing commission here in Louisiana, like most states do. And boxing is exercise, is physical fitness in itself.
Discipline.
But discipline is the thing. I got like 30,000 participants in the governor's games itself. The sport with the most disciplined kids is boxing, okay? They teach boxing at these boxing clubs because they have to be disciplined because their hands are basically weapons. So they have the most disciplined and most well-mannered kids out of all the kids that we have in our program. And all the kids are great, but the boxing kids are exceptional. And I just love working with them.
Well, Senator Kennedy disagrees, but I doubt that he's ever boxed. I just get that impression that he's never boxed.
I don't think he's ever boxed. Right? I don't know if he played any sports at all. You know? You're going to get me in trouble with this man again. 877-217-5757
or talk at talklouisiana.org. Joe Burrow, you're a big LSU football fan. And in game one of this year, Rudy Macklin said LSU has the best quarterback in the country.
I did say that.
And I didn't agree with you at the time, but
Very few people disagreed with me back. They thought I was crazy. When I was on your show, I told you that we had the best quarterback in the country. And people say, oh, we heard you on Jim's show, and how could you say that with all the great quarterbacks? I'm telling you, it's something about this guy. I think he's the best quarterback in the country.
Heisman winner.
That's right.
And they're probably already erecting the statue.
You think he'll give me a cut of that contract he's going to get?
Well, since we're kind of segueing, we're going to keep Rudy with us with Paul Arrigo for a little while. But, Paul, what does this LSU football supremacy do to tourism?
Well, first of all, to follow up what Rudy's talking about with the outdoor and the sports, sports is very big in Baton Rouge as far as bringing visitors here to participate. As you know, we just had the big soccer tournament here. We have every year the Marucci World Series. So it is one of the major reasons why people come to Baton Rouge as participants. Now, of course, Jim's talking about as attendees for specific events. You know, right now, Jim, this is coming to work today. Everybody had a smile on their face. The Saints won, Southern won, of course, LSU won, and Alabama lost. But I'm looking at a couple of things that that come to mind. And I was listening to my friend Jim Inkster this morning when he told me I was going to talk about sports and tourism and LSU, and I had all this other stuff lined up, but that's okay. We're going to get into that. What I find really interesting, perfect example, every Wednesday we get a report from day by day what was utilized in Baton Rouge in hotels, day by day. And last weekend with the Arkansas game, Arkansas. The revenue, hotel revenue, was twice of what it was last year when we had no game. Of course, we anticipate a big bump this week with Texas A&M over Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving is a traditionally slow time for travel to cities like Baton Rouge. So the fact that we've got visitors coming in for LSU and Southern games and homecoming games, et cetera, that's one thing. But let's just look a little bit beyond that. And I have this conversation with an interview we do with the Shreveport radio station every Wednesday before an LSU game. The L in LSU stands for Louisiana. That brand, Louisiana, is all over the country right now because I think we're probably one of the top sports stories. Louisiana State University, the fact that Joe Burrow puts the EAUX on the back, that's part of our culture, and I think that's spread.
We're going to return with Paul Arrigo and Rudy Macklin, your number 877-217-5757. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. And with LSU football reaching heights not reached perhaps since 1958, the last perfect season, the town is abuzz with the Tigers now three games away from fourth national title in modern time, 1958, 2003, 2007, and maybe 2019. And we were talking with Paul Arrigo, head of Visit Baton Rouge, and Rudy Macklin, director of the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness, about what this means. And Rudy, of course, knows what it's like when the town is going crazy over a team. That happened in 1981 with the Fighting Tigers basketball team. And Rudy, as you know, before we get back to Paul, when you have that expectation that you're going to win the national title and then you don't, it's a big letdown. I know people don't want to think in those terms, but no matter what happens moving forward, this has been a greatly successful season for LSU.
It has, and not only for LSU, but for the entire state, and also in the future of the state and the LSU football program. Recruiting is going to be really big for Coach O, and I'm very happy for him and all the Tiger fans, because once kids see LSU on TV each week and see what they're doing, and they look at their positions and say, wow, I can play that position at LSU in Tiger Stadium. And once you participate and be a part of the Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, when you sit in those seats, man, and it's electric, and who would not want to come here? You know, if you got game, if you're a top five recruit in football, you would want to think this school first. Because if you want big time football on the best level, the top level, the best conference, and you're going to get seen throughout the entire country, this is the place to be.
877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org. And Paul, you mentioned Alabama, how happy you were that the Crimson Tide
lost. I said the city was happy.
Well, I think you're happy, too. Paul Joseph Arrigo is not hiding his glee. But Alabama, more than half of the student body at Tuscaloosa is from outside of the state of Alabama.
Yeah, they do a tremendous job, and a lot from Louisiana, as you know, Jim. And
The spotter for the LSU games, Jim Nickel. Three of his kids went to Alabama.
Really?
Yeah.
And you know, the thing, too, is when you've got kids from out of state, and LSU and Southern have kids from out of state, that brings visitors with the parents coming in for games and moving in and graduations and what have you, certainly the two universities here. And, of course, LSU has, and does Southern, a very large international student base, too, which helps bring in some visitation. I was reading in the I think there was an article in the Advocate about the people that come in internationally for shopping, and we have tax-free shopping here, as you know, international tax-free shopping, and that's a draw into the region too.
All right. Well, maybe the LSU student body will become more diverse, because we have people from all over the world, and certainly we have diversity when it comes to race, but we have 80% of the student body or thereabouts from the state of Louisiana, and football is a great sales pitch. There's no doubt about it. It seems to trump everything.
Yeah, it certainly does.
It does.
It does indeed. And and it makes your job easier. But what about St. George, the pull away? I noted that the crime stats are going to change, even though in reality nothing has changed, because you've got 86,000 people in an area that is not afflicted with crime in the same way as the remaining 140,000 people are. So Baton Rouge may very well have, unfortunately, the highest murder rate in America per capita, based on the new numbers.
Yeah, you know, Jim, we sell and promote and market the entire area, because when a visitor comes to Baton Rouge, they could visit a plantation home. They still think they're in Baton Rouge. And when they get off that boat and they go up and down, they still think they're in Baton Rouge. But you mentioned that at Rotary, and I got to thinking about that. As long as we will continue to promote the Baton Rouge region, and we are funded by hotels in East Baton Rouge Parish. I will say this. In my 20-some-odd years marketing Baton Rouge, I think twice crime has come up as a deterrent to visitation. One was when there was a billboard out there on I-12, and that was several years ago, you might remember. And I can't remember the exact time. And don't get me wrong, I am not saying, well, we've got crime, but that's okay, because crime is always going to be a problem. Until a visitor is a victim of crime, you know, it doesn't seem to be nationally known. But for some reason, some cities like New Orleans, and this weekend, they certainly got their share of publicity during over the weekend with what happened. While crime is certainly nothing that helps tourism, it doesn't seem to be what we hear about. Now, we only hear from the people that come here. Those who don't come here is another reason, you know. But as far as bringing conferences, conventions, events, that has not come up, and to a degree, we've been very fortunate.
Well, you noted New Orleans, the headline in The Advocate: chaos, violent weekend, rocks New Orleans, mass shooting leaves 10 injured on Canal Street. This happening at 3:20 in the morning on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Saturday night, Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Not far from the French Quarter, of course. This, when people from other parts of the country read this, they probably think New Orleans is a deadly place, and in some cases it is, mm-hmm. but in reality it's usually safe. Mm-hmm. But will this dissuade people from coming to the crown jewel of Louisiana?
Does it help? Absolutely not. I'm sure that people will continue to go to New Orleans and continue to come to Baton Rouge, Shreveport, and what have you. You just said the crown jewel of Louisiana, and I think that's something that Rudy's talking about with the state and what he's doing, and the fact that Ellen in LSU is Louisiana. This state has maybe the top five brand nationally and internationally. You know, when you think about Texas, California, Louisiana, Florida, I mean, people know Louisiana, and so much is happening right now, positive, particularly with sports, that it's good. You know, Rudy, we're talking football, but certainly the basketball program is big, and we've got more games in basketball, and certainly LSU baseball, and the fact that we've got the Marucci World Series and what have you. It's big, and we bring a lot of youth groups here, and the crime situation is on our mind, and I can tell you we're working with the police department whenever there's a major event in town so that they know that we've got mm-hmm. visitors in town, and some of them may be youth and what have you, and they've been very cooperative.
Terry Elmore writes, Paul, I met you downtown on 3rd Street shortly after the visit Baton Rouge office opened. You're an outstanding ambassador for the city and state. You're a knowledgeable, personable, have that distinctly Southern Cajun twang, he calls it.
It's a New Orleans
I call it something else. He asked, do you cook?
Not as much as I used to, but is that Terry?
Terry Elmore. Terry Elmore. That's the name on the email.
Well,
talk about raining on a parade, Rudy. Here's one for you from Kristen saying, Burrow is not the best quarterback in the country. He has a gift that many others don't have, a talented and adaptive offensive line and a head coach who had nothing to lose in trying something new. Just about any good quarterback could have done what he did under the circumstance he was given. He ain't that special, writes Kristen. Rudy Macklin?
Kristen, I beg to differ. He is the best quarterback in the country. This is Rudy Macklin's opinion, and Rudy Macklin's opinion only right now. He is the best quarterback. He has the stats to prove it. Yes, everybody has to have an offensive line if you're going to play quarterback. We have a pretty doggone good one this year. Yes, you have to have some good talented receivers to catch the ball, but the decision making that this quarterback, his ability to make the right decisions at the right time under duress, under pressure, and still get the job done, whether to throw or whether to run, he seems to make the correct decisions.
He's the real deal. But that offensive line, which is special,
yep.
It's huge. It's huge, Rudy. Oh. How many of these guys could run a mile?
Oh, man. Oh.
But Rudy, I hope you support Terry's comment about me as much as you didn't support the recent.
All right. 877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, Jim, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I just want to talk about the health and PE training in schools. When I was in junior high, we had health class, which was boys in a gym talking to a coach about their bodies and getting some real news about sex and things that were important to hygiene. And nowadays, these kids can get online and see just about any sex act on the internet that can be performed. And I think there's just a really big opportunity to put some of these kids straight about what's healthy and what's not.
We, back in the old days when we were in school, which is quite a while ago, we were in junior high, elementary school, we had physical education every day. And when I started the job in 1992, we saw that certain people in the legislature and even in the Board of Education were trying to make some cuts to physical education. And some parishes who were underserved parishes where they had budget, problems. And if you have to make a decision in the parish whether you're going to keep PE or hire more math teachers, that's a pretty, pretty big deal, tough dilemma. But you have to have some type of physical education for the kids to give the kids a break in school and to teach them the importance of health and being physically active. And if we don't do that, we're going to have a really fat state, okay, real obese state, which leads to other healthcare problems and health problems. And so it's important that we push for physical education. It seems like I got into an argument with a person a few years ago that he wanted in it. Part of the Bessie board, mm-hmm. that wanted to turn Louisiana into virtual schools. That was his words to me. All he cared about was the three R's, all right, the reading, writing, arithmetic, and anything else that you wanted outside of that, you had to pay for. And I said, this is something that we can't have happen. We were part of writing the Louisiana Physical Education Standards, and when they saw the standards that we put together, they realized the importance of having physical education.
877-217-5757. We're down the home stretch with Paul Arrigo and Rudy Macklin. You can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We're back after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferry is producing in the home stretch with Rudy Macklin. Only one player in LSU basketball history scored more points than he did at LSU, and his name was Pete Maravich, and he's the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history, 3,667 points. Rudy's a leading rebounder. He got more rebounds at LSU than Bob Pettit or Shaquille O'Neal or anybody else, but we're coming up on 50 years since Pete broke the record, and when he did that in the year of 1970 on January 31st, Paul Arrigo was a senior at Brother Martin,
that's
first
right.
graduating class at Brother Martin High School. He came from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, and he's headed Visit Baton Rouge for how long?
I have been in Baton Rouge for 22 years. I've been head of Visit Baton Rouge, I think we figured out, for 15 or something like that, Jim, 16 years.
Paul now. Joseph Arrigo, who's become a Baton Rougean, and he's proud of his city, and the tourism numbers have improved. And when you came here, there were very few downtown hotels, and now I think there's seven, I believe.
Yeah, about 1,100 rooms downtown. But, Jim, let me quickly throw these out at you, because people don't realize. And listen, I know. I'm from New Orleans. I was with the New Orleans Convention Bureau for many, many years. Ran the Washington office for New Orleans. That is a world-class international city. But we've got over 11 million visitors coming to Baton Rouge every year. 4.1 million stay overnight. Now, think about that. 4.1 million. That's like 15 times the population. Mm-hmm. Of Baton Rouge, right? Or 10 times, rather. But
of the parish.
Of yeah. the parish. So there are certain visitors that come to Baton Rouge, and I think it's very important that we recognize that this is a great place to visit as Baton Rouge. We should invite our out-of-town friends and family to come here and enjoy what we've got. you know, New Year's Eve coming up, the big downtown celebration. A lot going on, particularly now with football. Everybody's happy. Why not embrace this city the way we should? And I've always said, I wish, you know, you run into people from New Orleans. New Orleans has a love affair with itself. Texas has
they
a love
down on Baton Rouge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And have you ever seen a Texan, whether they're from Austin or Lubbock? They love Texas, right? We need to love this city as much as I think we should.
Well, Rudy's from a great city, Louisville, Kentucky.
There you go.
Has there been one of those canvas trips to
Louisville? There was. Okay. The Yum Center.
Yeah.
And the home for the number two bat producer in Major League now.
Louisville Slugger, man. Both my uncles worked there.
Yeah. Well, I often thought Baton Rouge should do some things to emulate Louisville because it is a superior city, a little bit bigger. But it's kind of something that we could shoot to be. And Rudy, I know you're quite proud of.
Yes, when it comes to Louisville, what they've done is improve transportation.
Oh yeah.
And as far as the interstate highways and the loops that they have, and also public transportation, they've improved that tremendously. Also to alleviate the traffic woes, the type of traffic woes of Baton Rouge has. But also they've torn down a number of the housing projects. And have mixed residential living there. You don't know who's mm-hmm. who. And they revamped how those who receive welfare assistance, they're on and on a time limit. And they help them weed themselves off of welfare, so to speak. And also we have like one-stop shopping neighborhoods in the city, in the part of town where I grew up. You can get everything in one location, your health care and pharmacy and all the other systems all in one area, one spot. And they've improved urban living just beyond downtown itself. And they took one of a railroad bridge that extended from Louisville all the way to New Albany, Louisiana, across the Ohio River.
New Albany, Indiana.
And made it a pedestrian walkway that
That's
you could
right,
walk
they did.
And run
yeah, yeah.
across. My city got it going on. Plus, they got downtown.
And they got
live.
A pretty good racetrack there, too.
Yeah, pretty
pretty good bourbon. You know, Louisville embraced the river a lot more than I think. We need to, you know, here we are sitting on the Mississippi River, one of the largest cities on the river.
Mm-hmm. Without one of the largest ports in the world, too.
And we although we have almost every day a riverboat stopping here, almost every day a riverboat stops here. If we could improve what we've got on that river, it's internationally known, the Mississippi River.
We have riverboat races in Louisville.
Well, we have riverboat gambling in Louisville. Yeah.
And you know what? He would never be able to be a jockey at the track. His legs would be touching the ground. That's why he moved to Louisiana.
But we have a great place to live, and you're telling that story. And too often, maybe we accent the negative, and maybe we need to start thinking about the positive. And that's why I think it's wonderful that people are so happy about Joe Burrow and the Tigers. I can only imagine what will happen if they don't win the national title, though. The whole state will go into a funk.
Well, you know, I think of interest is the national championship will be in New Orleans the same day as
the inauguration.
Inauguration. So can you imagine how many people are going to be flying out of here, Jim, down I-10, police escorts and what have you, to get to that game? But
maybe John Bell ought to talk for like 3 hours.
I think, you know, that would be so cool. And maybe people would have to stay here in Baton Rouge. You know, we'll fill a few. Actually, we're anticipating filling some hotel rooms with that. We truly are.
Well, I imagine so. The inaugural will bring a lot of people here, no doubt about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Southern is still a major entity in this community. And Baton Rouge is the only city in America with two land-grant universities in the same city.
Hmm. And Tallahassee, Florida is not a land-grant.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't think I would stump Jim on one of his facts. But, you know, along those lines, we have, through our studies, Jim, we have found that Baton Rouge is considerably higher from a national average on African-American visitors mm-hmm. due to Southern University and the fact that so much is associated with Southern, mm-hmm. meetings associated, athletics. Kids inviting their friends and family. You know, when you have two universities, you got professors from elsewhere. So you got professors at Southern and LSU inviting professors that they've worked with in other cities, whether it's Ames, Iowa, Des Moines, or whatever, and they're inviting those folks to come to Baton Rouge.
Hayden writes that he was in class with you at LSU, geology class, and that Rudy was a good student, but never took a note. Is that right?
He's lying.
Just kept it all up here, right?
Oh, no, I had to take a note because we had mandatory study hall. We had to produce our notes.
He also asked, how were you the leading rebounder for LSU as a small forward?
I studied one man when it come to rebounding. I studied one man only, the great Wes Unseld.
From University of Louisville.
Mr. Louisville. He was only 6 foot seven, but he was wide body.
Played center in the NBA.
And it always amazed me how he was able to get rebounds. But I studied his footwork. I studied how he watched the angles of his teammates, where they were going to shoot from, would determine where he would go and box out. And how he used his boxing out techniques. I studied and copied everything he did. And so I averaged 20 rebounds a game in high school by watching one
And
man.
In his first game, very first game at LSU against Tulane, Rudy corralled 32 rebounds, and that remains, 43 years later, the all-time record for one game in your very first game, 32 rebounds. Shaq never did that. The great Bob Pettit never did it, but Rudy did it, and it's still a record 43 years later. And Rudy also got a degree, so he's in the LSU Athletic Hall of Fame. Pete Maravich is not, and unfortunately for Pete, he's not going to be able to obtain a degree anytime soon, and they've kept him out because he does not have a degree. So does that mean that people who do not have a degree should be disallowed from attending LSU, from getting in with, you know, maybe that should be a requirement for having a ticket, that you have a degree to get in? What do you think?
Well, when it comes to the being inducted into the LSU Hall of Fame, that is the prerequisite. That you have to have.
But they've let four guys in who didn't have degrees.
Yeah, they did. And they went back to that rule because it goes from the LSU Hall of Fame, then it goes to the Athletic Council. Mm-hmm. And the Athletic Council and then the Board of Supervisors. So when it leaves the LSU Hall of Fame Committee, you know, it's really, which I'm a part of, it leaves our hands. It's not up to us after that. So, but we've agreed that rule must stay in place.
But what a great irony that Pete Maravich. The Hall of Fame, the Athletic Hall of Fame, is located in the Pete Maravich Assembly Center, mm-hmm. and yet he is not a member. But what happens to Patrick Peterson? What happens to Tyrann Mathieu? They both gave $1 million to LSU. They don't have degrees. Are they going to keep them out too?
Summer school is always open.
Summer school is always open.
He could come back. Joyce Walker, a good friend of mine.
She came back. Dale Brown helped her out.
She went to school in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And it didn't bother her at all. She said, I understand, and I will go back, and she did. And so there's quite a few other people that are doing the same thing. They realize the importance of it, and they're taking the time to do it.
Stovall does not have an LSU degree.
Nobody has a degree.
He has a degree, right.
From Missouri Baptist.
Exactly. Correct.
I figured 1973. You knew that. Yeah, it took a while, but he got one.
In speech?
And I don't know. He gives a good speech, though. And he does. Now, Billy Cannon did not graduate from LSU. Few people know that, but he got into med school without a degree, and he did graduate from med school, though, mm-hmm. so he has a degree, but he did not graduate from LSU either. Joe Burrow will get his master's, mm-hmm. But I see in some of these tweets he has some spelling issues. You know, he does not spell foreigner right, and he made a few other statements that he's apologized for, but all is right with Joe Burrow, and Rudy, that's one of the things that perhaps is unfair, but it's just a way of life. If you're a great player, mm-hmm. people automatically say he's a great guy, yeah. too. But sometimes great players are not great guys, and sometimes they are.
Yes, that's true.
And Burrow appears to be a good citizen.
Well, he's a good citizen. We're glad to have him. And when I first saw him play, I knew there was something special about him, and I'm just so happy for him and his family.
And Allison asked, Paul, did you like the spelling of Burrow? That he wore that fake jersey in the pregame with the EAUX. Did you like that, Paul Arrigo?
I loved it. I really did. Like I said, and it's national news, and again, it promotes the culture of Louisiana. I wonder if there was an NCAA rule that they might have violated, Jim.
Well, he didn't wear it during the game, so I think he...
Right, he did right. He did.
He's okay. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.